with you until 12 o'clock today. I got to go pick up my dog after the show today. Been at the in-laws for the week. Missed old Bootsy girl. Excited to go get her after the show today. But I'm also excited for the return of sports. It finally, once you get into the two-week window for Major League Baseball to return, the juices are starting to flow. If you missed the open of the show, I kind of talked about how I think this, I realized during these 4 months, 4.5, 5 months off, what a major vein of society sports are. Like, I miss sports less than I thought I would, which amazed me since I kind of have dedicated my career to it. I've been working in sports media now for damn near 15, 16 years. So it affected me directly, but I missed it less than I thought I would. But I realized how much bigger than sports it is. Like, that's where my mind's been over the last 4.5, 5 months. I think sports is such a large part of our culture that its return will give people a sense of ease, that there's hope on the horizon. Because, hands down, Dylan, have you had a stranger 5 month period in your life?
I can't say that I have.
I don't think anybody can say that they have. I don't think anybody can say they have.
Nothing comes to mind offhand.
Yeah, it's out there. It is weird. You know, I finally kind of let my parents hold their granddaughter again this week, which is weird to even say. Yeah, weird to even say that. But that was like a big moment for us. Because, you know, my mom is dying. You know, I FaceTime with them every day so they can see her. We have the shared album. She gets the pictures and the videos and whatnot. But she's still, my parents were dying to get their hands on my daughter. And I can't imagine what that was like for 5 months to basically be like, I can't really even come near you. You know, she celebrated her first birthday during that time. It's so out there and weird. And we've by no means turned a corner. The death rate is, you know, plummeting, which is a great thing. But the amount of tests that are returning positive is a problem. It's still a problem. But regardless, we've turned a minor corner, still a major corner away. But, you know, one of the things we talked about early was, what about this new normal that we have? Are you not going to miss? Because I, for one, I love that I don't have to handshake anymore. I thought handshaking was weird, invasive. People do nasty things with their hands. Why would I want to go palm to palm with another sweaty man on a hot, you know, July day and go, "What's up, dude? Let's really get our hand sweat together here and what's going on?" Like, why? I was always a pound man.
Yeah, Howie Mandel is way ahead of the curve. Howie Mandel has been doing the pound for decades.
Yeah, yeah.
You never like shaking hands. I agree with him now.
Yeah, I'm happy that the handshake is going the way of the dodo bird. See you later. I never have to handshake again. I'll pound with you. I'll do an elbow tap, whatever you want to do. See ya. We got a couple tweets there during the break from our buddy Chuckles. And I forget the other guy on here, Instigator on Twitter. You know, they're saying, Chuckles is saying, I have a little bit of claustrophobic gene, and I enjoy now that I have at least a justification for wanting personal space out in public. Yeah, a lot of people feel that way. I don't need people all up in my business. Standing on my, you know, like, just think about the grocery store line. You know, now it's got all the markers 6 feet apart. Give people space. The grocery store line used to suck. People would be right on top of each other, you know, getting impatient, getting nasty. Bye. Give me my seat 6 feet. Back off. And the other thing I think it's going to improve us as a society is I think this period has given us a sense of patience, because everybody had so much time on their hand that things weren't a waste of your time as much during that period. Now, once we return to full-blown normalcy for a while, people will probably revert back to being impatient. You know, I'm one where if I used to be in line at a Wawa and I'd be, you know, three deep and the lady at the register has known she was coming up on the register forever, and then she's like fumbling around to find her purse and her debit card or her cell phone, and she's just wasting time. That used to make my blood boil. Because I'd be like, you were in line the entire time. You knew you were getting to that point. Why didn't you locate your wallet in your purse when you were in my position? What the hell were you thinking? Let's go, lady. Think ahead. Let's move. And now that stuff doesn't really bother me as much. And I think that's a positive that will come out of this too. I think people realized kind of the true meaning of patience. Because we all had so much time on our hands at home. Like, getting out was, in a way, refreshing and a change of pace. So much so that you were happy to be out and about and doing. I'm not going to lie, I used to go grocery shopping about once every 2.5 weeks. I would do a large shop for the family to, you know, limit our exposure out in public and especially at a grocery store. So I would do that. I loved it. I felt like alive grocery shopping, as stupid as that is. But I used to go over to Wegmans and, you know, they were doing things great. It would take me like 45 minutes to get in the store sometimes. You know, you throw the wireless headphones in and you just kind of zone out, you know, read Twitter on your phone, whatever. You get in there, nobody's around. It's all spaced out. It was nice. You could just kind of bop around a lot easier. I loved it. I felt, you know, like, oh my God, I'm out. I'm doing something. I don't care if the lady ahead of me in line is fumbling around for her debit card. I'm out. This is great. So I think there are some positives. So if you have any positives, excuse me, my throat is really scratchy this morning, Dylan. If you have any positives that have come from the post-COVID era, I'd love to hear them because, you know, anytime great, you know, tragedy faces a society of humans, usually you improve from it and come out on the other side better. You know, like plumbing came about because of a malaria outbreak where the streets were, you know, flooded with sewage and stuff. And it's like, hey, there's got to be a better way. Oh, plumbing. Yeah, this is great. So people stop getting as sick. So there's always ways to improve. And I think this will be one. And for me, hands down, handshakes, number one thing. See you later. Never have to handshake anybody again. So we're talking about that. We're talking about the excitement of the Sixers returning. Look, we were just talking about it before the break. Nothing matters unless Joel Embiid is Joel Embiid. And we'll know because we've seen Joel now for, you know, basically 4 seasons and the roller coaster of his in-game shapeness. It's not necessarily a fat thing. Like, I never think Joel Embiid gets fat. It's just he falls out of game shape quicker than most because that's a large man. That's a large body to get moving. And by all accounts so far, Joel Embiid looks good. You know, Brett Brown said, I was impressed with Joel Embiid's conditioning. Now, I know we've heard this all a million times before, but I'm trying, and this is what I'm asking of you today, because I feel like I'm alone in thinking that these leagues are even going to happen, one. But two, I'm trying my damnedest because I want to enjoy sports. I hate being negative all the time, and this is Philadelphia sports, so we always have a reason to be negative with something. And the first 2/3 of the Sixers season was that negative. The highs of being great at home to the lows of being on the road and inept. It was frustrating as hell. So I'd like to give myself amnesia about that first half of the season. And I want to enter this stretch run as positive as I can until they give me a reason to be negative. And I don't know what Orlando has in store for this team. They were obviously their best at home, their worst on the road. What does Orlando equate to? Does it cut the 2.5 where they're just like a 500 team? Because that's not going to be good enough. Does Joel Embiid actually want to prove everybody wrong? And does he look as swole as he did in the picture they tweeted out yesterday? Brett Brown said that Joel Embiid stood out. You know, we talked to Keith Pompey like 3 weeks ago. And he said Joel Embiid was doing 6 workouts a week. And one thing people forget about is the practice facility was only available to injured players who were doing rehab, and I believe Joel Embiid was technically injured, so he had access to the facility, I believe a good majority of the time. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure he was allowed access before they reopened. So, look, it all comes down to Joel Embiid. I don't care about Ben Simmons' jump shot. Bob Cooney seems to think Ben is going to attempt a little mid-range game coming up here in this new weird end of the year. And, look, I hope he does, but I'm not going to make myself nuts over that. What will make me nuts is if it takes Joel Embiid to game four of the first-round playoff series to look like he's back to being Joel Embiid. Because nothing else matters. Joel Embiid is this team. He is their everything. If he's struggling, the Sixers will struggle. If he's playing like a top five player in this league, which I believe he can be, they have a good shot to make this a real run. I really believe that. Because defense travels. That's the one thing in sports. You know, look, you can suck offensively on the road. Your defense, for the most part, should be there. And in a weird sprint to an end of a season, the Sixers are young. For the most part, they're in shape. There might not be anybody in the league in better shape than Ben Simmons. Tobias Harris has been trying his damnedest to talk about, you know, keeping this team together during the quarantine, and we'll hear from a cut from him shortly. But it all comes down to Joel Embiid. Do you believe? Will you throw out all the negative thoughts from the past and just try to be positive on this new weird endeavor we're about to take on? Because it's going to be weird. It is no doubt going to be weird. So actually, speaking of Tobias Harris, let's hear from him. He spoke, I believe, yesterday to the team Twitter account about the chemistry issues. Now, he made news on Fox Sports 1 about 2.5 weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, talking about the team's chemistry and how it wasn't there at times. And that was pretty obvious to anybody that watched the Sixers play. Because you see all the talent. You see it. It's clear as day. But then they just never really clicked, and specifically on the road. And nobody could really figure out why. A lot of people think routine on the road gets all thrown out the window. I think that's kind of a lame excuse for just not bringing it. I don't know, but it was so distinct that it was troubling. So here's Tobias Harris talking yesterday about the team chemistry and trying to, you know, keep it all together during this quarantine.
Just always important to make sure guys mentally are in the right space. So just being a teammate or brother, and you know, we're around each other for so long. So when we go into type of quarantine and with the pandemic that we had, I just thought it was really important to keep us in the loop with one another, with what we're doing, whether that be some Zoom calls, checking in through group texts. We got a group text on Instagram. So just to use the time to kind of build on that chemistry and help us grow a little bit together.
I hope, look, If professional athletes are human beings. A lot of people seem to forget that from time to time. Another look back to our new normal and the post-COVID era of living. Something my college friends and I have started with our wives is Saturday night we do a trivia night. And it's a way to keep in touch with people, socialize, yada, 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 get some adult interaction, drink some beers with your friends, and have a good time. So, you know, the winner each week hosts the following week. I came in second last night with my wife. Bummer. But that's something, to be honest with you, as a washed older guy now with a kid that's not going to be bar hopping on weekends like I used to or going to parties all the time, that's something I would love to keep going in my new life. It's a way to keep in touch with friends that I normally wouldn't have seen on a weekly basis. You know, I talk to them via text on basically a daily basis, but, you know, having my buddy's wives there and hanging out and, you know, shooting it is a good time. I've enjoyed it. It's really been fun, and that's something I hope sticks around too in this post-COVID era. So to relate that to the athletes, Tobias Harris taking the bull by the horns there and kind of initiating these hangouts, and somebody had to do it. And that's a great thing. And I hope it worked. And I hope they genuinely like each other. Now, will Brett Brown put the team in the best position to win? You better hope so. Because if If Al Horford sneaks his way back into the starting lineup, my blood will boil. Boil. The other thing people don't want to hear, Dylan, Brett Brown's going to be the coach of the Sixers next year. Barring an absolute embarrassment in the tournament, I really believe because of how they shifted the seasons and the offseason is now only like a month and a half, I'd be stunned if anybody else is coaching the Sixers next year other than Brett Brown. And that's going to anger a lot of people, especially if they, you know, get stuck in the second round again. Brett Brown's going to be back. I just feel it. How do you feel about it? There's a lot of people. That's a hot button topic, man. People hate Brett.
I don't feel great about it, but you're probably right.
I don't feel great about it.
I love the guy. He's a great guy.
Yeah,
and I like him because he's really when he does cuts, it's really easy like to listen to his interviews. So we've had some coaches where if you're listening to their press conferences, it's like trying to peel paint off a wall. Just like, oh my god, just get to the point.
Yeah,
and like, he's a good guy. He's easy to listen to, and he's just not a great coach.
I think he's a better coach than his reputation is, but I don't think he's great. We talked about it earlier. I think his biggest flaw is the pace at which he makes his decisions. And look, is there something to the country club vibe that the players have down there? Yeah, there probably is. But it's also a new age in the NBA where, you know, Tom Thibodeaux are basically outcast. He's an old school, like, more or less Bobby Knight type. I don't know if that works anymore. These players are, they have too much power, too much money. They control the league. Like, if Joel Embiid stays healthy for the rest of his career and has another decade of dominance ahead of him, which I really hope happens, he's more or less going to, like, run the team. Like, that's just the reality. He, Brett Brown or another coach, Joel Embiid's still going to have the power. So that country club vibe of what players can do whatever they want, that's a tough one to put back in the bag with as much power as the players have. So is there credence to that knock on Brett? Sure, there's probably some. But again, is a new guy going to come in and be Colonel Hardass and get everybody doing, you know, tucking in their shirts like a zipper to the buttons all lined up? And are their mattresses going to be can you bounce a quarter off of it? No, that's probably not going to happen.
Grown men aren't going to react that well.
No, anymore. Of course,
like,
not.
No grown man wants to be treated like a
no.
high school kid.
And look, Chip Kelly was too invasive with his players and tried to control their sleep and control their free time. And, you know, tried to take a lot of control in the players' personal lives. How'd that work out for him?
I mean, I gotta do a better job.
Yeah, LeSean McCoy hated the man. And look, Shady's got his own issues, but that's irrelevant to this point. They're rich professional athletes that don't live in this reality for the most part. You know, you get your couple guys that are grounded and haven't gone full famous weird brain, but they don't like being told what to do because they don't have to take it. They have that power. If my boss says, you know, wants to be a hard ass with me, well, yes, sir. I'll do it if that's what you're asking. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have that power to be like, nah, screw you. I'm rich and I control this league. No. So I just don't think that aspect would change with a new coach. But the positive for Brett, I think, can come of this is he's had 4 months to review this team, to review what works, you know, their struggles on the road versus home. What was the real root of the problem? And I believe he's had a lot of time to think on that. And I also believe he knows his seat is hot. So is he really going to give a decision that needs to be made time to marinate? No, he's probably going to make the move right away because his job could be on the line. So we'll see what happens there. I'm really excited about the Sixers. I'm probably going to let myself down here because I know what reality is this season. But damn, I'm excited. Some day games, a playoff series after 8 games. I can't wait for this. And look, I know it's there's so many excuses that positive Sixers fans have given over the last 2-3 years that you kind of get sick of hearing about them. But I'm going to give you one. Ever since Shake Milton entered the lineup, I think that new look Sixers team only played like 8 or 9 games together. So I thought that was their biggest problem in the beginning of the year, was Ben, Al, and Joel really couldn't work that well together in a starting five. You basically had 4 power forwards playing in a starting five. That wasn't a good mix. Al Horford had to be removed for them to be, a good team level reached. So, you know, that decision took way too long. But adding Shake Milton, having Josh Richardson, Tobias Harris, Joel Embiid, and Ben Simmons as a starting five, I really believe is going to be a tough lineup to go against. I don't think anybody wants to see the Sixers in the first round. Would you? I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to see a potentially ticked off Joel Embiid, because one thing that has happened with Joel Embiid, it's almost become chic, you know, with your Kendrick Perkins, who's a loudmouth, who gives a damn hot take guy, but like Charles and Shaq, there's a narrative now in the national media to kind of rag Joel Embiid a little bit, because look, it's stuff we talk about locally, but he's ours. We're allowed to make fun of him. You're not. That's the way it is. He's our brother. He's not yours. Stay away. But it's almost become chic to kind of to rag on him a little bit. And Joel has said it. Now, I don't believe a lot of what he says, because actions are louder than words. But he said it. You know, that Toronto series last year, that cut him deep. And look, had he not been out at a concert, not that he drinks or anything, but, you know, at a Trevor Noah concert the night before a playoff series where he got sick, the Sixers might have gone up 3-1, and they might have won that series a lot easier. And that's something I may never get over until the Sixers win. But if you believe Joel Embiid, that cut him to his core and made him want to be a better player, and now he sees these Kendrick Perkins and Barkley's and Shaq's, and he views it as ragging on him, and he's truly motivated to come out and be a better version of Joel Embiid, look the hell out, because nobody wants to see the Sixers if that happens. And I understand that's a big if, but woo! Let's talk to Josh in Audubon. He wants to talk a little Sixers rotation. I actually think their bench is good. Think about that. The Sixers bench might actually be good. Josh, what's going on, man?
What's going on, guys?
Not much.
Yep. Okay, so you're bringing up the bench, and that's what I want to get into.
I think it's a plus for them.
Yes, however, it's a plus if they use it the right way. And
correct.
With everybody's opinions, because let's just assume that Shake is starting and Horford's on the bench, right?
Yeah.
The popular consensus, and the way it usually is in a normal season, is, you know, you kind of shorten your rotation, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this might be long. Normally, you go to like 8, maybe 9 in the playoffs. I think in Orlando, Brett said this morning he's thinking about a 10-man rotation.
Correct. Now, when you talk, like, you know, I listened to Mikey Mitz and some other guys throughout the week, and, you know, what I don't agree with them on is how they're kind of leaving Matisse in the 8-9 range.
Totally.
I understand he's a rookie. I understand, you know, it's a different ball game in the playoffs. However, the way this team played on the road versus how they played at home, with feeding off the energy for the crowd, You need that energy off the jump.
Totally.
If I'm Brett Brown and the first 2 or 3 minutes of the game are very sluggish, you see Joe kind of lumping up and down the floor.
He's your instant energy shot. Just get him in.
Matisse, I don't care if he just tips a ball out of bounds.
Yeah.
I need Matisse. I need a steal, kick out the bend, run the floor, drop it off for a slam dunk, and whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Josh, it's a great point. So here's two things. One, it goes to my point about Brett. He doesn't have that time, that luxury of time anymore to make these decisions. So maybe that is a good thing. Maybe Matisse is your instant energy guy right off the bench to have an impact, get the juices flowing, and pull him out. And two, to your other point, maybe Matisse isn't that 8th or 9th guy. Maybe he's that kind of floating energy guy. Where you put him in selectively, and he could jump others in the rotation. You know what I mean?
Well, like, theoretically, like, he probably is an 8 or 9 guy.
Absolutely, okay? Yeah.
But that doesn't mean he can't be your first guy off the bench.
No, nope.
He could be the 9th guy in minutes, but he needs to be your first guy off the bench in certain situations because we can't afford to, like, fall behind, like, 24 to 15.
Absolutely, you know what I mean? Not. Like, I totally agree with you.
When you're thinking about the Sixers rotation and our bench, like, yes, it's a strong point, but when you think of, again, Shake starting, right? When you think of, all right, here comes Al Horford, he's going to bring the energy. No.
Yeah.
Here comes Mike Scott, he's really going to bring it.
Yeah, I'm okay with not seeing Mike Scott, and I love Mike Scott.
Alec Burke, like,
yeah.
Okay, but none of them are the, all right, here we go.
Well, because the energy guy, to your point, your team has to feed off of your energy. Like, no. It's not the energy you bring to the court. It's almost your energy inspires the other four. And Matisse has that. And for a rookie to have that kind of vibe to him is hell of impressive.
It's phenomenal. And you know, as much of a, you know, it's not liability because he can shoot at some spurt.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But look, if he tips a ball that leads to one fast break and a slam, that can change everything.
Yeah, like, I really have no problem with him being one of the first guys off the bench. And then once that energy is infused, and then you kind of get into your rotation, and then you play off by that. Like, I don't want to see a robotic, like, okay, we're going to put these guys in at the 8-minute mark, and then these guys in at the 4. Like, no, I can't see that. It's a different game with the no fans and coming off these, you know, 8 games. You know, we need to play everything in the moment, and I hope Rhett does that.
All right, Josh, I couldn't agree with you more, and for that reason, what a brilliant call. But there is that gene to Matisse. The team loves this kid. I mean, Tobias Harris has taken him under his wing. You know, the way he shoots the team with his own camera, and he has a desire to kind of be a photog, if you will, to now shooting inside the bubble on his YouTube series. This team loves this kid. He's got that Brandon Graham instant smile. Like, whatever room he's walking into kind of has that positivity behind it. And to Josh's point, his point walked into my point of Brett Brown not having the luxury of time to make these decisions. So if let's say Josh Richardson or Shake Milton is getting absolutely abused defensively in the first 5 minutes of a game, and I don't think that'll happen because Josh Richardson's pretty solid. Shake, yeah, maybe it's a possibility there. If they're getting abused and Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum is abusing them, don't waste any time. Get Matisse right in there to shut them down on the wing. So I think that was an astute point by Josh.
I hear you. I understand what you're saying. Makes sense.
We'll continue talking about the Sixers and their chances coming up next. I do want to talk about the Phillies a little bit because we're less than 2 weeks away from Phillies baseball. I got the over-under here from DraftKings Sportsbook we can throw out there. I'll give you some free money. Where are you placing your bets? Because it's a very interesting line. We still have to talk about the Adrian Wojnarowski thing. Which I think is quite a strange story from top to bottom. I'm Jamie Lynch with Dylan McKinnon in until noon today on 97.5 The Fanatic. Time at The Fanatic is 10:27.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.